Hi there, Caitlin here. Our mission at EB Academics is simple. Help middle school ELA teachers take back their time outside of the classroom by providing them with engaging lessons, planning frameworks, and genuine support so that you can become the best version of yourself, both inside and outside of the classroom. So if you think you might be ready to try something new because you know you simply cannot continue the way that you have been, that I'd invite you to take a moment to check out the EB Teachers Club, the EB Writing Program, or the EB Grammar Program by visiting the links in the description of the podcast. We hope to continue to support you within one of our programs in the future. And in the meantime, we look forward to serving you right here on the podcast each week. All right, teachers, we are back with part three of a fun four-part series that we're doing here in April on the podcast. We're focusing on fun and engaging projects that you can do with your students this time of year. So we talked about visual essays. We also talked about the Year I Was Born research paper project. So if you haven't listened to those first two episodes in April, definitely go check them out. Every one of these is independent of each other. Just FYI, they don't build on each other, so you don't have to listen to them in any particular order. And today we are going to be talking all about Genius Hour. It's an awesome project that your students are absolutely going to love. And, you know, the term Genius Hour is fairly new-ish, and it is mostly associated with Google, although Google isn't the only company or even the first company to utilize something like this. So companies like Google, and I don't know if you guys knew this, but they give their employees time to pursue their own interests and passions. So in Google's case, they give about 20% of the work week, basically like a day of the week, for their employees to focus on other things. What are you interested in? What are you passionate about? Where they can explore ideas, where they can create projects that they're curious about, right? And it's interesting enough. You're going to share this later, so I'm not going to steal your thunder.
Ooh, a little cliffhanger right
yes,
there.
Yes, little cliffhanger.
It's cool to think about though, because like, why would Google or why would any company do this? And when I first heard of it, and maybe you're the same way, you might think like, okay, it keeps their employees happy, right? They're going to want to keep working for the company. They get to explore something that they're interested in. It makes going to work fun. And yes, like that's partly true. But aside from keeping employees and keeping them happy, Genius Hour, or, you know, whatever a company calls it, it helps the company out too. It gives the employees this creative freedom, which can lead to key discoveries, key innovations that ultimately really serve the company. So back to Google, when Google implemented this, concepts like Gmail, Google News, and Google Glass, those were all developed through Genius Hour projects. And I just think like, how cool is
that? That's wild. Like someone sat down in Genius Hour and came up with freaking Gmail.
Right? And look at the impact of that.
I know. It's crazy. Right?
And it's not just adults or people who work at companies like Google that have that creative itch or that want to like explore cool things. They're not the only ones who want to make these big discoveries, right? Students can do that too. And likely they want to do that too. They are interested in different things than we're typically teaching in school.
Totally. And that's why so many teachers, and you've probably seen this on social media, wherever, are utilizing the Genius Hour concept in their classrooms, right? So while incorporating a Genius Hour project in your curriculum, it can really be done, quite frankly, at any time of the school year. It can be done for any length of time. Some teachers do them all year. In fact, we have a monthly issue that's a part of our EB Teachers Club that is focused on Genius Hour and how to implement it essentially like on an ongoing basis in your classroom throughout the school year. So while you can really utilize it in any capacity that you want to, we feel like these last few months of school are such a great time to just give this a try with your students, right? This project is going to engage them. It's going to keep them focused these last few weeks of school because they are researching, they are learning about something they are passionate about, right? Like that gets their interest. They care about something that they're working on. I don't know about you, Jessica, or anyone listening. When I'm doing something I love, like I am engaged, like I am there, I am showing up, right? I can't wait to get up and do that the next day. So we want to create that same experience for our students. So we're going to break down why Genius Hour really makes an excellent project for your middle school students.
And first, it fosters student autonomy, right? By allowing your students to choose their own topics and how they approach whatever project they come up with, they're empowered to take ownership of their learning. Like Caitlin said, they want to show up. They want to do the work. They're going to lose track of time because they are so into exploring whatever topic they chose. It also offers a level of freedom and flexibility that we don't typically see in the classroom, right? Like most often, teachers are saying, this is what we're going to learn about today. This is the essay topic we're going to write on, and this is when the test is, or something like that. And Genius Hour could not be further from that. So it really allows students to develop this sense of responsibility and independence. And frankly, that's going to benefit them outside of the classroom, as adults, all the things. And like we said, if you're considering Genius Hour, this is really a good time of year to try it, because with summer break approaching, students want that freedom, right? They want to get out of the classroom. They want to do their own thing. So essentially, you're kind of saying, okay, you can do that with a little bit of structure. And that's what Genius Hour is. And then another benefit of it is that it encourages students to engage deeper in their learning. They're not just working for the grade. They're really trying to answer a question for themselves. So they're more likely to continue researching, to continue asking questions, to interview others, whatever it takes to solve their problem or create their thing. So when they're invested in their projects, they're going to develop those ideas more fully. Like I said, they're not just saying, okay, I'm done, I'm going to hand it in. No, they want to do a good job on it. They want to be proud of it and have that breakthrough discovery on their chosen topic. So think about all the critical thinking that's happening, all the problem-solving skills that are going to come up, because of course, they're going to run into obstacles and little problems, and then they have to overcome those. So I just think the benefits are so big here.
Yeah. And in addition to those academic benefits, Genius Hour really helps students foster a love of learning. And I'm going to share some reasons why. And then I also want to add a personal anecdote to it at the end. When students are given the freedom to explore their interests, like they are so much more likely to develop a passion for learning that's going to carry them through their academic careers and beyond. So it's not just about this one Genius Hour thing that you're doing in your classroom, right? You are changing something about them and their interests and what they care about and their ability to find that passion for years to come. Like we are having perhaps an impact on future entrepreneurs, right? By being able to utilize this with our students. And finally, Genius Hour can help our students in the real world and prepare them for that, right? Today's job market is rapidly changing. It is becoming increasingly important for students to really develop a wide range of skill sets, be able to adapt and thrive in a variety of situations. Here, we're giving them the opportunity to practice these skills. And I want to make mention of a personal anecdote. This all makes me think of, I was recently asked to go speak at my former high school to a group of young entrepreneurs. They have an entrepreneur. It's called the Principled Entrepreneur Principled Institute, PEI, Principled Entrepreneurship Institute. I should know. It is. I'm on the board. I should know how to say it correctly. But I was asked to go speak to these students, and I cannot begin to tell you the level of engagement in that class that existed during my presentation when I was talking to them about mission statements and core values and stuff like that. For any student who's like not focused on what they care about through that lens is not going to be interested in mission statements. It's not going to be interested in company core values. But because they were having this conversation with me and asking me these questions through the lens of what they are creating, right? It's kind of like Shark Tank, but on a year's basis for students to understand the ins and outs of what it means to be an entrepreneur, you know, all the types of things that come with that. They were there. And it was really a cool experience to get to go speak to this group of young people because they wanted to learn. They were so interested. They were so engaged because they were focused on something that they were creating, that they were passionate about, that they cared about. And each of their, you know, inventions or whatever it was that their kind of businesses that they were creating were so different, but they were different to their interests. And I just loved that. So I think that it's such a great example of what's possible in real life that our students are going to get to experience. So, side note.
Well, and I think it's so important, that story. So hearing the benefits, hearing that story, I'm willing to bet like listeners are saying, okay, I get it. Like Genius Hour is worthwhile. It's great. I'm also willing to bet that some people are listening going, okay, it's overwhelming. Like how do I get started with this? And if I took this to my classroom and I just tell my students, great, you get to learn about whatever interests you and you get to create something. Like, aren't they just going to get sucked down the TikTok rabbit hole or like sit in class and like just waste away 20% of my class time? And like, no, you don't want that to happen, right? You have to have some structure and you have to have a clear objective when introducing Genius Hour to your students. So that's what we're going to walk you through now. And like Caitlin mentioned earlier, if you're an EB Teachers Club member, we've got you covered. You can go check out issue 37. It's all organized for you and you can honestly pass out the materials to your students. You're good to go. But if you're not an EB Teachers Club member, we wanted to talk you through some really basic steps so that you can start to structure your own Genius Hour project and that your students will find success with it.
Cool. So let's start with step number one is, and I love this, that this is how we begin our Genius Hour project. So step number one is students will write a proposal to you explaining the topic that they want to research and why. So the why. Don't let them forget the why. Okay. This is an incredibly important step because students are taking ownership of this project. They're not just saying that they want to learn more about a particular topic. Rather, they're committing to producing a final project showcasing what they've learned. And I also love the concept of like the why, right? It's like I have it literally on a thing behind my head, and you're not looking at this video if you're listening to this on the podcast, but I have this little postcard behind my head on my bulletin board that says, remember your why. Like, why do we do what we do, right? It's so important and integral to come back to that why. So for students to have a why for the topic that they're researching, that's their motivator, right? You can utilize that actually if they start to fall off the bandwagon and they're not super interested anymore, right? Come back to your why. Why were you interested in this topic to begin with, right? When we refocus to that why, it allows us to really come back to, okay, this is the reason I'm doing this. We get refocused, we get realigned, et cetera. So for this, you want to give students a fill in the blank template so that you can learn more about students' topic and then give your stamp of approval. So it can look something like the following. Let's say that it literally, I'm going to read to you what it would write on the actual fill in the blank template. I would like to create a Genius Hour project on the topic of blank. This topic interests me because blank. My guiding question will be blank. This question is important because blank. Through planning, research, and other strategies, I will blank. And that blank is where students will describe the project that they want to pursue. And then lastly, the goal of this assignment will be to blank. Okay. So you can go back and like re-listen to that and write it out as I say that again. So you'll read over students' proposals and then you'll check off if you approve it. You're like, yep, good to go. Or if perhaps some of their proposals need revisions before you give your green light.
So it might be helpful to hear, like, what does a student sample actually sound like without all those blanks? So I just want to share that with you and so you can start to visualize like what a good one would be. So a student might say, I'd like to create a Genius Hour project based on the topic of food allergies. Maybe that's something they really resonate with, right? And this topic interests me because food allergies run in my family. So I want to learn more about the effects of food allergies and how to keep people with food allergies safe. My guiding question will be, how can we keep people with food allergies safe? This question is important because if the general public knows about food allergies and preventing allergic reactions, then people with allergies can live safer lives. Through planning, research, and other strategies, I will create a short film. So that's the outcome, the project. That teaches the class the basics of food allergies, tips for preventing reactions, and the steps to take if someone is having a reaction. The goal of this assignment will be to help the audience understand their role in keeping others safe from food allergy reactions. So you'll see, like, that's a very specific proposal. I now know the topic, the outcome, how they're going to reach that outcome. So I think it can be really helpful to go back, listen to that template again, listen to that example again, so you know the expectations for your students. So then you read through all your students' proposals, and once you approve them, then step two is all about determining your Genius Hour schedule. So some questions to ask yourself there. Will you set aside time each Friday for students to work on their projects? Or will you give a whole class period every other week? Or are you going to do an entire Genius Hour project in 1 week where like this is all you work on? Honestly, it's fine to be flexible. Like, do what works for you. Do what works for your students within the time constraints you have.
Yeah. And then the last thing, step number three, is to really add structure to your project, right? It's probably not the best idea to let your students just have complete independence, right? Whenever it's genius hour time, like, okay, go. That's not going to be super helpful, right? Instead, what we want to do is build in objectives for each work period so that like the work period begins, they know what to do, right? They have like parameters, right? People need structure in their lives in order to flourish. That's the thing. So for example, that very first work period can be thought of as a planning period, right? Students can fill out a planning sheet with questions that they need to answer. And some of those questions might be the following. You know, number one, what is your guiding question? Number two, what topics or questions will you need to research in order to answer this question and present your project? Number three, what materials will you need for this project that you know of so far? Number four, is there anyone you will need to contact to find out more information? Whom will you need to contact? How will you contact them? You know, will you set up an email, a phone interview, an online survey? And a side note here, you want to make sure your students reach out right away, right? Because setting up interviews, doing surveys, all that stuff, like that takes time. Okay. Next one is, how can an adult help with this project? How can a parent or a relative or a coach or a mentor or something like that? And then lastly, how will you present your project? Will it be a demonstration? Will it be a video, a film like Jessica was just talking about with the food allergies? Will it be a performance, et cetera? So you can see, as opposed to just like sending our kids off and saying like, okay, go do this, we're giving them a planning sheet so that they have clear guidance and boundaries to help them during this initial like first work period or planning period.
And then for your subsequent work periods, once they have that basic outline, this is where students are honestly completing research and they're jotting down notes. They're getting helpful information. So what you can do is you can do like an exit ticket or just like a quick check-in with them on each of those work periods to make sure they're on track. And you can have students reflect on, you know, has your guiding question changed? Or what'd you accomplish today? Were you researching? Were you contacting someone for an interview? Were you conducting an interview? Were you working on the video? Like, what are they actually doing during that class period? What obstacles did you face this week? Did you overcome them? If not, what's your plan? Because next time we meet, you need to know what you're going to do. Is there anything you need to work on outside of school before the next session? And finally, what's your goal for the next work session? And what materials do you need? So that first planning period that Caitlin talked about, you would have them fill out some kind of organizer answering those questions at the start of that planning period. For these other work periods, you're kind of having them reflect at the end of the period on, you know, how did this last hour go and what can we improve for next time? So when you intentionally build in these check-in times, these reflection times throughout your entire Genius Hour project timeline, you're really setting your students up for success because, again, they're focused. They have an objective. They're meeting little milestones so that when they finally do present their final project, it's well thought out. It's organized. It's not just thrown together the night before.
Yeah. And I want to offer just like one tip that just came to mind as you were talking about that. We utilized this when we wrote our book, which if you didn't know, we have a book, shameless plug. It's called The Empowered ELA Teacher. You can go buy it on Amazon. But when we were writing our book, we utilized something called the Pomodoro method to write. I don't know how often you did it, but I had to do it all the time.
Every single time.
Okay, perfect. So I'm not alone in this. And I think that this approach would actually really help our students with Genius Hour because a lot of this is like deep work. And sometimes it's hard work. And sometimes when we don't feel like we know the next step to take or it feels daunting, we just don't do anything and we kind of screw around and like don't complete anything. So what we could offer to our students is this concept of the Pomodoro method. So before they sit down to actually work, I would have your students come up with what's the outcome of this work period? Like, what will I have completed by the end of this period of time? And the Pomodoro method, I believe, is 25 minutes on and 5 minutes off, or is it 30?
That sounds right.
Okay. So I think it's 25 minutes of like deep focused work and then a 5 minute break. And you literally set a timer for 25 minutes. And I don't know about you, Jessica, but even still, if I find myself like having a hard time, like getting jump started, I write out a goal, my objective for what I want to get complete. I push start on that damn timer and I'm like, all right, I'm going. And you are just in the zone. I listen to the Gladiator soundtrack as I write too, or whatever I'm working on. So you might want to offer that to your students. We're going to work really hard, focused, deep for 25 minutes only, right? I'm going to set a timer. I'm going to play some music that's instrumental, classical. The Gladiator is great because I feel like they're like, I don't know the word for music, like crescendos that are like powerful. I'm like, I can do this. You know, like I feel this whole vibe coming from it. To offer that to our students too, I think might really help them in like staying hyper-focused, making momentum and movement forward in this project. So side note, maybe that supports you. So we'd love to hear from you. If you do choose to give this Genius Hour project a try with your students, come join us over on Instagram. We're at EB Academics. Send us a direct message, tag us in you utilizing this in your classroom. We would love to see it in action. So thank you guys so much for joining us. And we will see you next week on our final series of April focused on engagement towards the end of the school year. We're going to be talking about two easy review games that you can play with your students. All right, we'll see you next week on the podcast. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.
Hi, everyone.